ESPN's Teron Davenport, Talking Titans, now on Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN, 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
It is that time of the week, time to go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in our friend Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, host of Talking with TD, brought to you by ESPN Bet Sportsbook. TD, good morning. How are you?
Hey, good morning. What's going on, fellas?
Not a lot, man. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. So, TD, the Stephon Diggs trade from Buffalo to Houston this week, obviously generating a lot of noise. What do you make of that deal, number one, for Houston? And number two, with all the moves the Texans have made this offseason, where do you have them in the AFC right now based on moves still yet to be made with the draft coming up?
Yeah, I mean, I think they're a top three team. I don't think that that's a hard thing to conclude to. To be honest with you, obviously the Chiefs and Ravens are there. But the Texans are right there, man. This is a good move for them. And I know a lot of Titans fans are doing a lot of mental gymnastics to make themselves believe that this isn't a good deal. But the fact of the matter is it is. And obviously there have been issues in other places for Stephon Diggs. But I think if he gets there and he has the right mindset and the way that they did the contract, where they squashed the remaining years, and this is the final year of it, they're going to get him at his best. But, you know, you really shouldn't have to do all that to get somebody at their best, right? I think change of scenery would be good for him, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah, well, that's what I was going to ask you, TD, is what you make of that, because now it becomes this kind of like prove-it year for him. And, yeah, I mean, I think obviously with a lot of people, prove-it year turns out to be – you know, maximize performance. But also, if he does have this great year and you're the Texans, now you don't have control. I was a bit stunned to see that. What do you make of that?
Yeah, this is equivalent to the guy at the poker table putting every chip he has into the middle and betting on the hand that he has. I mean, that's essentially what they're doing. And yeah, it's pretty cool to see, but I know if I was a Texans fan, man, I wouldn't be too happy about it, just that part of it. I would be happy that my team got him, but it's 1 year, like you said, and then he'll be 31 years old, and you'll be stuck with a decision to make. Should I do a 3-year big time deal, or do I move on? And I don't know that I would have done that.
TD, you know, obviously now that we have a little bit more information as to what the Titans roster is going to look like, and still with the draft to be determined, but you assume a left tackle is coming at some point here. They've got Tony Pollard, they've got Tajay Spears. And Brian Callahan, as a first-time play caller, obviously a first-time head coach, how much more, in terms of quantity, do you think the Titans are going to throw the football this year and really lean into the passing attack as opposed to what they did under Vrabel with Derrick Henry? Like, do you think it's going to be a dramatic difference? Do you think it's going to be just a slight difference? Like, how much more of a passing, I guess, leaning on the passing attack do you think we're going to see from Brian Callahan?
You know, I tell you what, you started to see them pass the ball a little bit more when Levis was the quarterback. So I think it's going to be a progression of that. I would say probably like a 60-40, 70-30 mix of pass versus run. Remember, when Brian Callahan was there with the Bengals, you know, obviously he wasn't calling the plays, but he was a part of the structure, a part of the getting the game plan together. And Joe Mixon, right, in what, 4 out of the 5 years, he had at least 210 carries. So running the ball isn't foreign to Brian Callahan. They're still going to do it. But I don't think it's going to be like that ground and pound exotic smash mouth that we've seen here in Nashville over the last, you know, 8 to 9 to 10 years.
So, TD, I saw your series of tweets, and it's funny because we talked a little bit about this week, but I want to bring it up again. You had a series of tweets with some Olu Fashanu film, and I think it was him against Michigan here, and it is really interesting. I know that this happens every year, but it's like you tweeted, you're like, Olu Fashanu, surefire top 10 pick, and in your opinion, like the value remains, there's separation, but maybe not nearly the separation, maybe something between him and Alt, or him and others. But like this is where I it also drives me crazy, because like it's just like basically mock drafts, right? Like mock drafts put him at 16. Here's one that puts him at 17. So it's like, what happened? You know, did something like, is there a medical thing people found or whatever? But I mean, Why do you think it appears that some people are more down on him and some of the other guys have elevated? And how big, let's just take Alt and Fashanu. How big of a gap is there?
Yeah, well, I mean, the thing that I posted was 2 months ago, he was a surefire top 10 pick. That 2 months
right,
ago
right.
part is important. And that validates, you know, this conversation that we're having, because now he's being looked upon as like, oh, wait a minute, he's not the second best tackle in the draft. You got Waga, you got Latham, you got Mims, Valtant, et cetera, et cetera. And I think it's a case of prospect fatigue. And it's what happens with guys like Olu, guys like Marvin Harrison Jr., where they're so good for so long, you begin to look for things. So you know no prospect is perfect, right? So you start to look for things and nitpick. And honestly, I caught myself doing that watching the Ohio State film. I almost caught myself watching this Michigan game where you're like, oh, well, he lunges too much. You know what? You like to see him. No, he's a good player, and he's a really good prospect. I don't know that I will put him right there on par with Joe Alt. I think there's definitely separation there, and you can really see that if you watch the Joe Alt game and then you turn around and watch Olu, because that's what I did last night. I said, let me have the same lens and look at both of them. I'm like, yeah, it's clearly different. And the thing with Alt that's so magnificent is this dude's footwork at 6'9". His footwork is ridiculous. And it's something that I picked up yesterday watching him. So there's a difference. There's a separation. But I think Olu was right there, the leader of the pack, as far as all the guys after Joe Alt.
TD, do you think teams do that? Do you think sometimes they have too much information where it almost is overbearing at times and they end up making bad decisions because of it?
Yeah, I mean, look, you know, these – team personnel people are, they're just that, people too, right? And so you could be susceptible to those types of things, prospect fatigue, et cetera. But that's the good thing about having a team of guys that you watch film with, to where you're like, oh, yeah, he was leaning on that. Yeah, but you know what? Watch this next rep where he drives the defensive lineman to the turf. You know what I mean? So you're kind of going back and forth, and then you sit down as a group and have that conversation. And I think that avoids that whole idea of prospect fatigue.
And, of course, with the O-line, with the Titans, you hope that just like Bill Callahan's evaluation is such a benefit before they even get to the coaching part of it. All right, I want to go back to Diggs, TD. Couple questions. One from Kyle in Shelbyville. It's just an interesting question, which is, who do you think has a better season, DeAndre Hopkins or Stephon Diggs? But also, what do you think the Bills, how do you think they're going to react? Are they good where they are? Do you think they're going to make a real strong push to get high in this draft?
Oh, well, I know the Bills, they really like Keon Coleman. They've been high on him since the combine. That's one thing I know for sure. So, you know, where they pick, Keon Coleman will likely be on the board. So they may not have to move up. But not having Diggs, you know, you might want to look at one of those guys and see, can you move up 20 or so spots? I don't know if they'll be able to do that. Because even getting one of those guys, they're not that one guy away. As far as who would have a better year, Diggs or Hopkins, man, that's a really good question. That's one that, I'll have to think about. I'm going to say Hopkins, because I just think, you know, you look at how, like, that last stretch of the year, he was very consistent, whereas you had Diggs kind of disappearing at times. So I'm going to go Hopkins. And plus, you know what? Hopkins doesn't have to face LeJarius Sneed twice a year, so that'll be in his favor.
Yep, no question about that. TD, last thing for you here. You know, it wasn't that long ago we were talking about the AFC South being the doldrums of the NFL and the worst division in the league. And right now, TD, like I'm struggling to think of many, many divisions that are more intriguing than this one when you factor in Levis and Anthony Richardson and now what the Texans have done, Jacksonville loading up this offseason as well. What's your take on the division and just, I guess, the intrigue factor heading into this next season?
You know what? It's kind of taken over from the AFC West, right? You look at AFC West is the Chiefs and, like, everybody else, right? But you look at the Chargers, you know, they're in the mix. But you know what Justin Herbert does. He turns it over late, and that loses the game for them. But you look at the South, man, it's the young guns, right? It's all the young quarterbacks. And now, you're having a bunch of teams that are on the up and up. And I think, you know, if the Colts can get it together, right, and get – Anthony Richardson in the mix with some of those weapons that they have, I think it's going to be competitive. But I really like the way the Titans, Texans, and Jaguars all went out, and they invested in some pretty high-profile players, and it's going to be fun watching all that. I believe it's going to be good for business.
Well, TD, great stuff as always, man. Really appreciate you taking time to be with us and tell us about our friends at ESPN Bet Sportsbook.
Oh, you already know, man. ESPN Bet, man. We're ready to take you through all the huge sports moments this spring. It's the exclusive sportsbook of ESPN, and it has it all, whether it be offers and promotions from Scott Van Pelt and Stephen A. Smith, from the playoff intensity to getting on the links and out to the ballpark. There's no better time to be a sports fan than right now. And as a new user, you get $100 in bonus bets, and that's when you make any sportsbook bet. So download ESPN Bet today. It's quite a play. You must be 21 or older and in Tennessee. For problem gambling support, call or text the TN Red Line at 800-889-9789. Terms and conditions will apply. All the apps are right there on the details.
Great stuff from TD as always. We'll take your thoughts on what he had to say. Get back into the Preds. Their big win last night against the Blues as well. Coming up next, you're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, brought to you by Chuck McDowell and Medical House Calls, Middle Tennessee's best medical care in the comfort and safety of your own home. For more information, go to medicalhousecalls.com. Medical House Calls, where the nearest clinic is your home. We are broadcasting live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexroad, Nick Keyser here with you on this Friday morning. Appreciate TD for being with us in the last segment. Joe, a big win for the Preds last night. They went 6-3 against the St. Louis Blues in a game where they did not play overly well in the game. I thought 5-on-5. I thought they actually got their butts kicked in the first period last night and were incredibly fortunate for it to be 1-1 after the first. But they stuck with it. They had some timely goals on the power play. I thought played a pretty nice third period, and they skate out of there with a 6-3 win, which is huge because that bumps St. Louis back to 8 points behind them with only 6 games remaining for both teams. By the numbers, if you go by moneypuck.com, the Preds have a 99.9% chance now to make the playoffs. The St. Louis Blues are at 0.1. They were hurt last night not only by the Predators, but the Kings also won last night as well. So the Preds remain 1 point up on the Kings in the wild card race for the first wild card spot. But even though they did not play, I think, particularly well, Joe, 5-on-5, that's a big-time result for the Predators to win that game last night.
Yeah, absolutely. Not their best 5-on-5. Did get the power play going. Got the fact that, like, someone who didn't watch this game look at the box and say, okay, 44 saves for Stars, but he did let 3 in. No. a 44 save night is already, of course, excellent, but, like, he deserved better than to give up 3 goals in that game the way he played. So, and that's the thing. Ultimately, if you want to take, as much as it's gratifying, I think, for the Preds to get the power play working, especially when they talk about, directly, Andrew Burnett talks about too slow, move the puck quicker, all that stuff. We saw it, and we saw it work. But I still think that the biggest thing you take away from that game moving forward is, like, if that's the Soros you're going to get, yeah, this team can be pretty scary, because best version of him, as we know, is definitely a goalie who can steal a series in the playoffs. He hasn't done it yet, but that best version of him is good enough to do it, especially with the way this team plays overall.
Yep, absolutely. Philip Forsberg, 2 goals last night and an assist, so he gets to 43 goals, which is a new career high for him. It ties Matt Duchene for the franchise single-season record. Forsberg now up to 87 points, which is also a new career high from him. The team record for points is 96 with Yossi, of course, with that magical year he had a couple years ago. I know it's 6 games left, Joe, but I'm not ruling out that Forsberg could get to 96, 97 in the next 6 games here. I mean, look, he had 3 last night, so we've seen him go on tears like that before.
Yeah, so I definitely expect him to beat Duchene's single-season goal, which I think Preds fans will be happy to see that his name would be there instead of Duchene's. And then the point streak, it's interesting. That's That would take quite a tear, but it's possible. Meanwhile, Josi leads the leads NHL defenseman now with 20 goals.
Yep.
So where do you think he is on the North? Is there a point talking about it? Does he have any shot at it?
I still am struggling to get to he's got a shot to actually win it. I think he probably should have a shot. I'm looking at, you know, the odds right now, and that's the thing this time of year. He has taken a big jump. I mean, we talked about this a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, and I think he was sixth on the list. He is firmly in third now. So it's Quinn Hughes, still the overwhelming favorite at -550 odds on FanDuel. Cale Makar in second at +450. Yossi's now at third at +1700. And from Josi to Hedman, Hedman's at +5000. So there's a gigantic gap between Josi and Hedman. So I feel pretty good about him being a finalist with the run that he's been
finalist,
on.
Yeah.
It still does feel like it's probably going to be Quinn Hughes' award to lose.
Yeah. Yeah, it's hard. Once you get, if you get someone who's just like a lock forever, I mean, I guess, you know, I guess you could talk about voter fatigue, just like TD was talking about, you know, prospect. But a lot of times it's just like, okay, whatever you had, if you're a voter, you just go with that, you know? So you want voters to be more discerning in these situations, but a lot just aren't, like it or not.
Well, they aren't. I think, I mean, another thing to keep in mind is, like, you know, Hughes has 86 points. He's put up 70 assists. So, I mean, he's having an incredible year.
Sure. It's not like it's a bad decision to go with him by any means.
Exactly. You know, and Yossi's doing great. To me, and Predators fans may disagree with this, and that's fine. Like, to me, the beyond the team success, which is obviously the most important part, like, if you're a big Roman Josi fan, one of the questions I think you're asking is he tracking towards the Hall of Fame? And I think the answer is yes. Like, when you factor in the seasons that he's having, he's probably going to be a Norris finalist again. I think that'd be the third time in his career he'd be a finalist. He's won the award once. You start to look at the points he's putting up. I mean, he's got 500 assists. He's got 678 points. He's not showing any sign of slowing down anytime soon. Like, I think when you start to factor in the numbers that he's putting up and the longevity that he's putting together, I think by the time he's done, he's going to have a pretty, pretty strong case for the Hall of Fame. Like, we talked about that a lot with Derrick Henry, right? Like, Roman Josi, I think has probably the most legitimate chance that we've seen from a homegrown Nashville Predator to get in the Hall of Fame. Like, you know, Kariya's in there. Forsberg's in there. Both those guys are here for a very short amount of time. Like, Roman Josi, I think, has got a chance to be the first true homegrown guy to get there.
Yeah. Unless there's a fall off here real soon, then I think it's going to start to look inevitable. And some more postseason success would not be bad along the way, you know? And I think that's going to be possible here in the next couple of years.
Yep, for sure. And, you know, Nyquist gets over 70 points last night. Like, a lot of the milestones are starting to get there. Like, Yossi's closing in on 80 points again. And there's a lot of milestones individually that the guys are getting to that kind of illustrates the type of year that they're having offensively and the type of run that they've had over the last 2 months here. Team-wise, Joe, I think the question now is, like, can you get back to your game? Because that was a big talking point of Andrew Burnett after the game last night of, you can feel it slipping a little bit. You know, the power play, they were really good last night, but, you know, they're going to be playing an incredibly desperate team in the Islanders tomorrow. I mean, the Islanders creep back into a playoff spot last night, but that last spot in the East is really fluid. All of a sudden, Pittsburgh's back in the race where they're 1 point out right now after they beat Washington, or excuse me, 2 points out. So they're right there together. The Islanders, the Capitals, the Red Wings, and the Penguins are all right there. So Islanders are going to have to play a desperate brand of hockey. I did not think the Predators matched St. Louis's desperation last night. You're going to have to tomorrow on the road against the Islanders.
Yeah, and so what does the release of pressure mean? I mean, they want to put pressure on themselves. They want to get back to their best game. I mean, winning last night, if you're being realistic, even in that room, I mean, you can talk yourself into, like, it's not over, but it's basically over, right? I mean, like, St. Louis is going to do enough that you're going to losing that you're going to get in, right?
I think, but they got three absolute bunnies coming up. Having said that, they just lost San Jose.
Yeah, and then they have tougher ones after that too, you know. So I mean, like you don't want it to get to the point where you get to the tougher ones and there's still a question. But there's a release of pressure from winning last night. So how does that affect what you're talking about? You know, I don't know, but it is a different, like the pressure started to build up a little bit into last night, and while they didn't respond with their best game, they did respond with enough plays to win.
Exactly. 615-737-1025, our phone number. Coming up next, it's time for weekend winners. A lot going on this weekend. The men's and women's Final Four. Preds with two games on the road. We'll get to all that. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game.
It's time to pick some winners. We hope. Robbie and Rex Road have weekend winners for you. Now on ESPN. 1025, The Game and The Game Nashville app.
Weekend winners here on Robbie and Rex Road. We got a lot to get into this weekend. The men's and women's Final Four underway this weekend. The Preds with two games on the road. So a very busy time of the year. A quick standings update in the competition. Both Joe Rex Road and myself went 5-1 last week with our locks. So a good
Ooh,
week
baby.
For that. Nick Kieser, 3-3, no lock, which brings the overall standings. Robbie Stanley, 20-16. 4-2 on my locks. Good for 24 points. Nick Kieser, 20-16 as well. 2-4 on his locks. Good for 22 points. Joe Rexroad, 18-18. 4-2 on his locks. Good for 22 points as well. So a very close competition. Very close competition. With that in mind, we begin with the women's Final Four, which gets underway tonight. The NC State women taking on the South Carolina Gamecocks. South Carolina is favored by 11.5 points. I am in first place, as I would like to remind you both. So I will go first. Give me South Carolina in this matchup. I think that they are just a team that is an absolute wrecking ball right now. I know that NC State, you know, Jared was all over me the other day, not giving NC State credit enough for how good they are. We'll see, but I'm going to go with South Carolina minus the 11.5. Nick Kieser, South Carolina and NC State today in the women's Final Four.
Yeah, South Carolina just scores too much for me to not take them, and that's a really, really tall task, I think, for them to keep up with South Carolina. So give me those Gamecocks.
Joe Rexroad, South Carolina, favored by 11.5. Is Rexroad frozen?
This is a tougher one for me because South Carolina has kind of...
He's back. Go ahead.
Am I back? Good Lord.
You're back.
What's going on here? What's going on with the program? Just real quick. I've actually had a tougher time with this line because South Carolina's kind of been wobbly a little bit. They haven't played their best, but I'm going to go with them. I think they'll end up covering late.
UConn and Iowa in a very anticipated, highly anticipated matchup tonight. Caitlin Clark, Paige Beckers. Iowa is favored by 2.5 points. Nick Kieser, who you got tonight in that one?
I thought Paige Beckers might give a lot of issues for Iowa, but I am going to go with Caitlin Clark and the Iowa Hawkeyes. I feel pretty confident they win the national championship, honestly.
Wow, look at there. Joe Rexroad, Iowa, UConn, and potentially the game of the weekend coming up tonight. Iowa favored by 2.5.
This is tough, too. I really think UConn has a really good chance to win this game. I mean, Caitlin Clark has to play like she did the last game for them to beat these teams that are this good. But until she doesn't play that way, it's hard to go against her, so I'm going to go Iowa.
I'm going UConn. I think, you know, Gino Auriemma will get something figured out tonight. I think Caitlin Clark will play great because she always plays great, but I think Paige Beckers will also play great. I think UConn covers the 2.5, and I think UConn wins outright as well. So give me the Huskies tonight plus the 2.5. We move to the men's side of things, Joe. NC State taking on Purdue on Saturday. Purdue a 9.5 point favorite. Who you got in that one?
I keep saying it's tough for me, but I think these lines are pretty good. These lines are good. Vegas knows.
They always do. Kind of.
You know, I'll go Purdue, but I'm reluctant, man. I think NC State just has a real special thing going about it. I could see this being a much closer game than that, but I'll take Purdue to pull away late. Same sort of idea.
I'll go Purdue as well. I'm sure Zach Edey will shoot 35 free throws, and Tennessee fans will be tweeting at Rex Road all weekend long, so I look forward to that. So I think Purdue will be too much. And the thing that I think will separate this, Joe, Purdue did not shoot well from three against Tennessee. I think they will shoot well from three in this game, and that'll end up being the difference. So Purdue minus the 9.5. Nick Kieser, NC State, and Purdue.
We love DJ Burns, right? But I think it all comes to an end. I really do. It's going to be unfortunate to see for them. But I think at the end of the day, you have to be proud of their run for sure. Yeah, go ahead and give me the Boilermakers.
Going with Purdue minus the 9.5. We move to Alabama and UConn. UConn has been destroying everybody. They are 11.5-point favorites, and I think they're going to destroy Alabama again. I'll go UConn minus the 11.5 and make it my lock, Joe. I'm locking down on UConn minus the 11.5. I know that's a big line, but I think they get it done once again. Nick Kieser, UConn, favored by 11.5 against Alabama.
Yep, I have that as well, and make it my lock. I feel pretty confident about that as well. I had that written down earlier this morning. Kind of had to think about it. I didn't know if I wanted to lock down on the Boilermakers or not, but I feel a lot better about UConn and those Huskies.
I feel a lot worse now that it's Kieser's lock, because those have not been going well for him in this competition.
Am I frozen?
No, you're good. You go ahead.
Oh, okay. Well, you guys were freezing on me. Yeah, UConn lock. we're not going to have a lot of movement in the standings this week. Yeah, but I mean, it's kind of obvious, and I just got to go with the obvious, you know. Remind me the line, because I don't even know what it is, because
it's 11.5. It's a big line. 11.5.
Yeah, that's lockable. That's too hard not to lock that.
Nate Oates is not going to be happy with us. We get bulletin board material that we're providing the Crimson Tide.
Just throwing it out there. He wears a houndstooth jacket just to defy us.
I'm sure that he will. All right, the Preds and the Islanders on the puck line. Two games this weekend on the road for the Predators. We begin with the Islanders game tomorrow. Nick Kieser, who you got between the Preds and the New York Islanders?
I think the Islanders are desperate enough to squeeze out a win tomorrow. I really do. I think that Patrick Waugh and that group, they are really trying to get something going here, and they're still in it right now. I know that the Penguins are breathing right down their necks, so I think the Islanders do make it interesting, but they will beat the Predators on Saturday.
Joe Rexroad, Preds and Islanders tomorrow in New York.
I mean, other than UConn, I'm questioning myself on every single one of these games. Ah, man, this is tough. I'm going to go Preds. I think the Preds are going to kind of take that release of pressure and just go out and say, okay, how about let's see if we can play our game in this game Saturday. And I think that they will find it, and I think that they will win 3-2.
The Preds have absolutely owned the Islanders for like 8 years in a row. So I'm going to go with Preds again on the road. They take down the Islanders. I did have to think about it. I think it's going to be really close, but I think the Preds will win on the road. They have a back-to-back. They'll play also on Sunday against the Devils. Joe Rexroad, who we got in that one, the Preds or the Devils coming up on Sunday?
I mean, just a total homer, I guess, but I'm going to go Preds in that one too.
Wow.
I think the Preds are going to sweep the back-to-back, and then it'll be officially over, and then next week is just like, get ready for playoff time.
Yeah, if they win both games this weekend, the playoffs are clinched at that point. I'm going to go with the Devils. I think the Devils will win that game. I think that the way that they play is kind of tailor-made to cause the Predators some problems. We saw that the first time they were here, and then you factor in the back-to-back. I am really interested to see like how they deploy the goaltenders, whether it's Lankin in tomorrow or Lankin in Sunday, because there is a big game coming up Tuesday against Winnipeg too. So would you rather Saros have 2 days of break before that, or would you rather have 2 days of break after he just had 44 saves last night? I'm interested to see how Andrew Burnett handles that, but I'll go with the Devils on Sunday. Nick Kieser, the Devils, and the Preds coming up Sunday.
Yeah, I think on that note, just the workload, I think just after making 44 saves last night, I think seeing, 46, 47 shots last night, I think they'll go with Lankin in, I would say, against those Devils. But look, I think the Preds get it done against New Jersey's Devils, as Pete Weber says, and I think that would be an interesting game for sure. I think they'll pull away late. It would be a great game if they can put a few up early for sure, but give me the Preds over the Devils on Sunday.
Going with the Preds over the Devils. Big weekend for them, and if it goes the way that WHMR Joe Rexroad has thrown out there, we could be talking about an official playoff spot clinched on Monday morning. Rexrod's frozen in place again, just smiling on the camera, frozen directly in place.
Frozen again.
Yeah, they're struggling with the Wi-Fi, Joe, but I think you're back.
Am I back now?
You are.
Every time I freeze, I make an amazing point, and so then it gets lost into the ether. What was my point? I don't know. Here's my point. If I'm right, then that means the Jets game won't be anything Tuesday, which would actually be too bad. I was kind of looking forward to that game. So hopefully I'm wrong.
You could still catch him. You could still catch him and then be rewarded with the Colorado Avalanche. We'll see how that goes. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. We'll take your thoughts on the Predators. We'll take your thoughts on the Final Four coming up this weekend. A big weekend in the world of sports. More on that coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Final segment of the day, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. I'm Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Friday morning. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. By the way, speaking of our phone number, I got some tickets to give away if I can ever get them to pull up. So we'll get that those tickets to give away here in just a few minutes. But Rex Road, you look refreshed.
Well, you know, I had to move. I mean, the Wi-Fi. I mean, why can't we get, you know, working Wi-Fi these days? I don't know, but now I'm in this part of the room here. You can see a little dollhouse there over my right shoulder. You know, that's not my dollhouse, but it's a very nice dollhouse that my wife's grandfather made for her long ago.
There you go. Okay. I got some tickets to see Tom Segura at Bridgestone Arena on April 12th. Be caller 5-615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Caller 5 will win a pair of tickets to see Tom Segura at Bridgestone Arena coming up on April the 12th. Joe, final thoughts on the weekend of sports. Let's begin with the women's Final Four. Going to be a lot of eyeballs on Iowa and UConn tonight. Do you think that that even has more people watching tonight than LSU-Iowa did earlier this week?
That's a great question. You know, that's a great question. I don't know. It is late, and it's a Friday. So how does that factor into the whole situation? A Monday game, and a little bit earlier, right? Monday, yes. Wasn't it? Yeah, I think those two factors helped the last game. And plus, just the Mulkey, Angel Reese, and Caitlin, like, there's a lot of things that went into that. So I would actually be surprised if this beats it. But I think it'll be a big number. And, yeah, I'm just excited for that game. Look, I think UConn's better than Iowa. I think a lot of teams are better than Iowa, but, you know, Caitlin Clark's the best player. So can she go for like 40, a 40 piece with a triple double or so again? That's what I think she's going to need to win any more games in this tournament. So much pressure on one person. I'm just fascinated to see how it plays out. And Paige Beckers is great too. I mean, she is not too far behind.
Are we getting Purdue UConn on the men's side? And if we do, can Purdue actually take down UConn, who, by the way, I mean, UConn just looks absolutely unstoppable right now. And it's not like Purdue has looked like they're overly beatable either, but UConn has just taken it to a different level.
Yeah, they have. You know, it's funny. I was talking to Steve Lehman last night at the Preds game, at Illinois grad that he is. And it's, you know, if you watch the Illinois UConn game, Illinois should have been up probably 8 points at the half, something like that. If they make layups and just like don't botch, like they actually had a great plan. They're right there. It's 23 all, but they've blown out these opportunities. And of course, as we know, 23 all becomes 53-23 UConn. They go on these death runs that are just crazy. I want to see Purdue UConn. I want to see it because I actually think it could be a great game. And I just, as good as Donovan Clingan is, the 7-footer for UConn, does UConn think they can just go ahead and just you go guard Zach Edey and you'll be fine? I don't know. I want to see the matchups. But, of course, I'm excited to see DJ Burns throw his backside into Zach Edey tomorrow night and see how that works out for both of them.
I am, too. I'm excited to see if Alabama – like Alabama, if they get hot shooting, they can – I think they can make things interesting. Like, can they stop UConn? I don't know. Like, that's going to be one of the things to watch for here. But, like, UConn – has been so dominant. Alabama's going to have to shoot the ball really well, I think, from three to hang in there.
I mean, they're going to have a historic shooting performance. There's nothing on the other end that works for them. I mean, it just, It's and look, again, they're not alone with that, but they're not a great defensive team anyway. They have definitely played better defense in this tournament. They're going to have to be pushing 23s, okay, to win this game. And I've seen some text line. We've got Nick from Franklin saying Bama's going to end UConn this weekend. I like the confidence. I hope it's a great game. I really do. It would be an incredible story if Bama won the game. I don't see how they win it if they're not at least around 17, 18 threes and in tandem with UConn not shooting well in the, as you said, Robbie, the awful full stadium environment of the men's Final Four.
Yes, absolutely. On the Pred side of things, an opportunity to clinch. Like, if things go really well and you win both games, you've clinched a playoff spot. And look, that's a big deal. I mean, you want to get that done as quickly as possible, and then you could start kind of worrying about where the matchups land after that. Now, it's, you know, so Colorado wins yesterday. They're at 102 points. Dallas remains at 105. They're dead even on games played. So it's fascinating. Like, right now, Joe, Dallas, Colorado, Winnipeg, Vancouver, the Preds, the Kings, the Blues, all at 76 games played. So everybody's kind of like, it from that standpoint, dead even in terms of games played here. Dallas has won 8 in a row. There is a big game coming up this weekend. So Dallas plays Chicago tomorrow, which you would figure should be a win for them. And then Sunday, they're on the road at Colorado. So that's a gigantic game for not only who's going to win the division, but kind of affects the rest of the playoff matchups too. Because if you're Colorado and you can win that game, then you're going to give yourself a shot coming down the stretch here to win the division. So a massive game to pay attention to outside of the Predators and the Devils and the Predators and the Islanders, a huge one on Sunday between Dallas and Colorado unfortunately a late night when that one at 9 o'clock.
Yeah, I'm excited for that one for sure. And, you know, like, how important is it to Colorado to win the division? You know,
I don't think overly.
Like, I feel like it matters a lot for Dallas. You know, Colorado's in a position of they recently won a cup. But obviously, I guess it kind of depends on, you basically know what your matchup is. If you don't, if you're the team there that finishes second, you're going to get the Jets in the first round. How do you feel about that? But those two teams playing in a big game is exciting. And as we talked about earlier on the show, Robbie, I think we're both drifting toward maybe just the way Dallas looks with everything they're doing well, including goaltending. Maybe Vancouver is the best situation for the Preds when it comes down to it. And if the Preds stick with wild card one, that's probably what they're going to get.
Well, and you know, and Vingens brought this up too. Like, one of the reasons we've talked about Dallas being a good matchup, or a good matchup is not the right word, being the better matchup, is Jake Oettinger has struggled this year. Well, right now he's playing great. So if you're telling me that he's going to play great, their defense has gotten a boost with Tanev coming in. I think they have the deepest group of forwards in the league, not the best forwards in the league, but they got the deepest group in the league. Well, that's a lot of recipe for success come playoff time that you've just thrown together with the Dallas Stars. You know, Colorado's formula is different. I don't think they're as deep, especially at forward, as Dallas is, but they got star power, right? I mean, they got Nathan MacKinnon, they got Mikko Rantanen, you got Mittelstad coming in from Buffalo. So and the team speed that they can put together, I think, is a different challenge that way. On the Vancouver front, they're super talented. They're very fast. They can move the puck really well. The one thing with them right now is the status of their goaltender. And number two, like, a lot of their big name players, whether it's Pettersson or Besser, I mean, to a much lesser extent, JT Miller, there's not a ton of playoff experience that Vancouver has. So could that be an advantage for you if you're the Predators, who conversely with Ryan McDonagh and Ryan O'Reilly and Forsberg and Yossi, they got an absolute ton of playoff experience? Like, there's not a lot of teams that probably have more playoff experience on their roster than the Predators have.
Yeah, which is weird, but it's true. And they got names on cups. So, yeah, no, it's a very good point. I mean, I remember Vancouver coming in whenever that game was, and I did not leave that game thinking that would be a good matchup in the postseason for the Preds.
Yes.
You know, but also the Preds are a very different team now than they were then.
Well, the thing, like, Vancouver, though, they've had a really interesting schedule here, because when you think about the playoff teams that they've played recently, LA, they lost. Dallas, they lost. Vegas, they lost. Like, their wins lately have been against Anaheim, and they won the other night against Arizona, and they won back in, you know, the latter part of March against Montreal and Buffalo and Calgary. Like, they've not beaten a playoff team since Winnipeg back on March the 9th. So it's been a while since they've had like an actual good win. So that's another factor that you got to include in this too.
There you go. We pivoted from Dallas to Vancouver.
Sweep for the Preds against Vancouver.
Yeah. Maybe by the end of next week, it'll be, no, you know what? Colorado looks the best.
Yeah, Nathan McKinnon, yeah. He's not that good. Him and Cale Makar are pretty easy to corral in a 7-game series. So I think we could come all the way back around. It's going to be an interesting next couple of weeks here. You know, the Predators, with the win last night, did a lot towards wrapping up a playoff spot, but still 4 points left to either gain by them or for the St. Louis Blues to lose before that becomes official. Joe, have yourself a wonderful weekend. We'll see you on Monday morning.
Sounds good. Nick, watch Cannonball Run this weekend.
Please do.
Okay.
Maybe not Deliverance.
It's coming up next. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3, The Game.